Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio.
I'm Jonathan All, in for Elaine Shaw. There are thousands of people in the U.S. military who will have to leave because they're transgender. An order from the Trump administration is revoking their right to serve their country. But leaving the military isn't as easy as turning in a resignation letter. It can have major impacts on someone's career, as well as their health and education benefits. In Missouri, four members of the Missouri National Guard have submitted separation packets, hoping to be granted voluntary and honorable discharge from the service for medical reasons. They hope to retain some of their military benefits. In Illinois, 12 transgender service members have made the same request. Joining me in studio to talk about one of them about this is one of those soldiers. Specialist Dahlia Dahl is from Chatham, Illinois, near Springfield. She's also enrolled in Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. Dahlia, welcome to the program.
Hi, I feel welcome. Thank you for having me.
So your gender journey started about the same time that you enlisted in the military. Could you start by talking about how your life as a trans woman and as a soldier have been intertwined?
Yeah, absolutely. So in April of 2020, I finally joined the bandwagon and got onto TikTok very late when everyone else in my school was already on it. And I had a revelation, if you will. See, TikTok's algorithm is very good at pairing you with people who are like you. So I was hearing the experiences of transgender people, and I felt that I was relating to them a little too often for me to still be cisgender. So I explored myself, and I found that, yes, I am transgender, and that started a fairly long and complicated journey to the uninitiated, but to me it was very simple. Sorry, my ring is making a noise. I fidget
no problem
with my hands to listeners at home. But I a few months later, I enlisted in the Illinois National Guard, and I did that primarily because we get free tuition to any in-state public university in Illinois. They don't do that in other National Guards. So if you know a recruiter in Illinois and you're not in Illinois, maybe double check.
Sure.
My recruiter told a story like that. But anyway, so I joined. I signed my name on the dotted line in December of 2020. I want to say, or 2021. Sorry, this was all happening in 2021.
Sure.
And so I, right after my 18th birthday, I was also signed up for the draft that day. I guess I don't have to worry about the draft anymore. But I joined the 1844th Transportation Company, and I was still figuring myself out as a transgender person and as a soldier. I was a motor transport operator, so I was able to drive trucks. I often used my status as both a soldier and truck driver as an excuse for my foul language, and which I suppose isn't very ladylike, but you know, it's neither here nor there. I interacted with a whole lot of people going through basic training in AIT. I interacted with probably people from more different walks of life than I had ever had in my life previously. And they were asking me questions. They were curious about the experience. They asked me questions that I hadn't thought to ask myself.
Like what?
I couldn't remember the specifics now. Mm-hmm. This was years ago.
Sure.
But at one point, someone asked me like who I was attracted to. Mm-hmm. They asked about my sexual orientation. And at the time, I was identifying as non-binary, which, to put it simply, is kind of just in between being a man and a woman. And in no uncertain terms, I said that I was attracted to women, feminine people. And someone said, "Oh, you could have just said you were straight." And I felt,
And these were people in the military with you that were asking you these questions?
Yes, these were people who were coming up with me. These were my fellow trainees, my battle buddies, and they were all very nice about it. They were all very understanding, or at least they were trying to be understanding. I didn't have in my entire career, I've never had too many people try to tell me who I am. There have been a few. But I've never had too many people try to say, hey, you're actually not this, or hey, that's not right. So it's been a very good experience. Even someone who was probably one of my best friends in basic, who was pretty against it, I think. But after meeting me, he was like, oh, these are people. Great. And we're still friends. We talked to each other just a month ago, actually. And getting back on track, so
no
sorry.
Problem.
But they would I never felt gender dysphoria harder than when I was going through basic and AIT, because the drill sergeants would call us guy, like it was our name, and also somehow an insult and the only way that a drill sergeant can. And it wasn't because they were transphobic. They were doing it to, it was just meant to be another degrading thing that they would do, which, you know, break you down, build you back up, right? I get it. That's their job. But I thought, wow, I really dislike that. I think I'm going to reject any and all masculinity in its entirety. And I, at first, was rejecting gender entirely, but then I realized that I was rejecting gender because I hadn't found a way to do it that made me feel happy. And later, I found joy in femininity, and I found joy in becoming a woman and acting womanly and all that. So, but I don't think I would have found that out as quickly if I didn't have that experience in basic and AIT. So arguably, the Army made me more trans.
And you felt accepted for who you were in during your military career?
I did by most people. Like I said, there were a few folks who I described it as people trying to tell me who I am. And, some people would say, oh, well, you can't be that. And I would say, well, do you presume to know me better than I know myself? I know what I am. I think a lot of people haven't explored their own gender. I think especially the people that I was talking to, some of them, mostly cis men, they didn't know what the SRY gene was. And then they would try to tell me that I'm biologically a man. And I'm like, that's a pretty important part of what would make someone a quote unquote biological man. It's the gene that activates the Y chromosome mm-hmm. when it's attached. So for them to not know that, I know that I know more, and I know that when they try to tell me who I am, that they don't know. They haven't lived my experience, and nor did they try to understand it.
So you're seeing some things on TikTok that are making you think about your gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
You're also seeing the military as a pathway to help pay for your education.
Mm-hmm.
Did those two things, as you were taking both of those journeys, did they ever feel like they conflicted with each other, that they were mutually exclusive in any way?
I entered the military under the Biden administration, and we were being given briefs about equal opportunity, or EO for short. And under the Biden administration, people were allowed to be both soldiers and transgender. You were allowed to do both of those things at once. I should say openly transgender. Now it seems that we're back in the don't ask, don't tell days of the Clinton administration. But anyway, I never felt that they necessarily conflicted with each other, because I was being told that I could still be trans and I could still be in the military. It wasn't until President Trump was reelected that I knew he would bring back his ban on transgender soldiers from his first term, and that I knew that my life as a soldier and as a trans woman would no longer be together. I would have to pick one or the other.
So you saw it coming, but how did it feel when you got the news that the Department of Defense was no longer going to allow transgender people to serve?
So President Trump makes a little bit of a timeline. President Trump makes his executive order day one, January 20th. And I think, okay, well, that's going to take a while, but I guess I'll just wait for my leadership to tell me what to do. So I waited and I waited. On March 18th of this year, so we're about 3 months late. We're about 2 months later, I should say. That's how slow the cogs of the government turn. I got a message. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to hear. My fiance had died in a car crash that morning, and about an hour, maybe two later, I then get a message from my leadership saying something to the effect of soldiers with gender dysphoria, which is the medical way of saying soldiers who are transgender, have to submit a memorandum saying that they are transgender and that they are volunteering for discharge, and no one is allowed to out anyone, no one is allowed to investigate anyone until, I want to say it was 8 days later on March 26th, that was the deadline. And I thought, I have 8 days. I don't have the energy to write a memorandum right now because I've gotten this devastating news already. So I'm going to wait for no other reason other than to give myself a little bit of time to process all of the information I had learned that day. Then about 12 hours later, the order was blocked by a federal judge. I still wrote something. I still sent it up because I wasn't exactly sure what to do. Eventually, leadership was told to cancel everything, don't send anything up. And they pushed that down to me. Hey, we're not sending this up. Everything's, you know, we're waiting now. We're hurrying up and we're waiting. So I think, okay, well, I guess I'll just wait. So I waited and I waited and I thought, you know, it would be really funny if halfway through annual training, which is 2 weeks long, you can't go anywhere, if halfway through annual training, the order came through. And that didn't happen. The order came through at the start of annual training. We were just told halfway through. And that was, it's funny in hindsight, so I was correct, but it was devastating to hear it actually happen. You know, I think of this in reference to the death of my fiance, because everyone knows that death is inevitable. You know, it's what? Death and taxes, right? But like, I knew it was, I knew that it should happen, that it would happen at any point. But I don't know, a part of me was hoping that it wouldn't actually happen, that, you know, that I would be able to finish out my contract. I had a year and a half left. If this hadn't happened, then I would be able to graduate college with my tuition waived, no problem. But you know, it felt like my entire world had you know, I had other stuff going on in my life too. It felt like my entire world had been coming down again and again and again, and any plans that I had made for my future had been wiped off the board.
We'll talk about your future and your plans for your future and what is pending with you after we take a quick break, and we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. I'm Jonathan All. Now back to our conversation with Specialist Dahlia Dahl of the Illinois National Guard. Now, Dahlia, can you maybe explain, you're seeking a voluntary separation from the military. What does that mean, and what would that look like if you're granted it?
Well, essentially what's happening is I sent up a memorandum. So I filled out a little form, and I signed some paperwork. And from that moment, I was put on administrative leave while an investigation is being done to make sure that I'm not just being Corporal Klinger.
That's a reference I hope everyone gets from the TV show MASH.
Right, from the TV show MASH. Unfortunately, I have not seen that, but I do know about Corporal Klinger. And they're making sure that I'm not just doing that. And once they do, which they will find, I've already sent up my estrogen prescription. There is a history. I've been out as transgender since for my entire military career, essentially. So there's a history. They're going to find everything that they need to find in order to say, yep, that person has gender dysphoria. And they will be discharged. So I'll get some paperwork at one point. But as of right now, I am not going to drill, but I am getting paid for it. So that's it's not the worst thing that could be. But the reason, some people might be wondering why, and some people did ask me this, why I'm volunteering this information. If it's so bad, why would I volunteer it and not just try to stay in? And the fact is, when we get past the deadline, which we're already past the deadline at this point for voluntary separation, it will be involuntary. If someone knows, I mentioned earlier that when we were first told, we were told that no one can out anyone. People have to come forward themselves. And after the voluntary separation deadline, then people can be outed, people can be investigated. And if people know, which my company commander and company first sergeant did know, and my entire leadership knew, and the entire unit knew, because I would correct people when they misgendered me, even if it was accidental, which most of the time it was. And like I said, those people were good people. But they would know. And so that's not allowed, and they would have to send that up. Hey, we have a soldier here with gender dysphoria, and she can't be here. And it was really out of my unit's hands anyway. So I had to volunteer myself because I've put it as I could either walk out or I could be carried out.
And if you walk out, will you still get to keep your educational benefits and be able to graduate with those educational benefits?
I get to keep every benefit except for that. In Illinois, you have to be currently serving in the Illinois National Guard in order to receive that benefit. So I will not get it. I have already applied for it's called ISAC, I-S-A-C. And I've already applied for that, and I have it for this school year. I don't know what will happen once I am officially discharged, but the money in the Illinois budget has already been set aside for my tuition. So hopefully I will keep it. But if I am discharged before the next time comes around to apply for that, then I will not be able to get that. So I've been thinking that most likely I will have to pay for my final semester of college, which is better than having to pay for the whole thing.
Sure.
Or better than having to pay for the rest of it. But it's still not it's not what I signed up for. It's not what I was willing to put my life on the line for this country for.
What are your feelings about the military and your country having to go through this?
My feelings are, I don't think this is the best use of our resources as a military. As of 2023, about 2.7 million Americans serve, and about 2 million of those are actually service members, not civilian contractors. And we, again, as of 2023, had about 334 million people. So less than 1% of the nation serves. I had been told, it had been pushed down, that we will be financially incentivized to get people to sign up. That's how much we need people. And to remove, according to the Associated Press, about 4,000 soldiers for having gender dysphoria, something that didn't stop us from soldiering during the Biden administration. It's quite literally, it's an impact worse than the American casualties on D-Day, which was about 2,500 people. So I don't think it's right. I don't think that we should be doing it, not just for my own self-benefit of getting to graduate college, but it just, it's a weird choice to make when we're already needing people to sign up for our military.
If there is another presidential administration in the future, and if these rules are reversed, and if transgender soldiers are allowed to serve again, would you ever consider going back?
If I were to go back, I would have to go through basic training again. And there are very few things in this world that would make me go through that experience again.
Let's take the hypothetical a little bit further. If the new administration did allow you and you were allowed to not have to repeat basic training, would you go back?
Me personally, no. And that's because I primarily signed up for the education benefit, and I will have gotten that by the time we get a new administration. If I was told, hey, you have to finish out your contract under this new administration, I would do it. I'm not going to dodge service. But, I wouldn't. But I don't think that people who want to do it for any reason other than what I have should be told that they now can't, when the only thing that has changed in their ability to serve has been who's in charge.
Will it, if you are granted this medical, will it be an honorable discharge?
Yes, because I volunteered it within the deadline, it will be honorable. I was told that failure to volunteer it and then finding out later, it will be a general medical discharge.
There are some transgender soldiers that have said, I'm going to make them kick me out. That they have believe they need to stand on some kind of principle that they're not willing to do it voluntarily, that they believe that this is so wrong that they're going to force the military to take action. How do you feel about people who've made that choice?
I think if they want to make that choice, they're more than willing to. Me personally, I wanted to do it honorably. I'm glad that they're not going to get a dishonorable discharge for that, because that really affects your ability to get employment. I think good for them. They have stronger principles than I do, probably. Good for them. That's what I'll say.
Last month, you appeared at a town hall in Chicago that was organized by Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul. There were other attorneys general from other states there, and you told their story. And this was a group of people who were looking for testimony about the failings of the Trump administration. Did that process give you any comfort? Did their words of support help you?
Yes, it did. It's good to know that there are people who are, I shouldn't say that. I don't like that we're having to pit sides against each other. I don't think that that's good for the country. I don't think it's good politically. But the fact that we're doing that, I'm glad that I have people who are on my side. I kept telling people when the election of 2024 was happening, that I was going to vote for then-candidate Biden, because I knew that President Trump would end my service in the military. So I kept simplifying it to, he's going to take away my rights. And that's why I was voting for it. And I don't like being a single issue voter, but when that's the single issue, that's a pretty big issue.
What do you make of President Trump's assertion that people who are trans don't have the physical and mental health and selflessness and unit cohesion to serve. And this is the president's words.
Right.
Expressing a false gender identity divergent from one's individual sex cannot satisfy the rigorous standards necessary for military service. What do you make of that?
I think that that is incorrect. I think that there has been nothing relating to me being trans that has affected my ability to be a soldier. I think that President Trump is someone who has not explored gender in the way that I have. And because of that, he is uneducated on this particular issue. And I think perhaps if he were, he would have a different mindset on it. But the fact is, he's not. You know, he made the declaration that there are only two sexes, which if you've studied biology at all, then you know that intersex people do exist. People who are not, we'll say, biologically fully male or fully female. I talked about the SRY gene earlier. If that gene does not attach to the Y chromosome, then you will have XY chromosomes, but you will otherwise be female. And that's why they don't do chromosome testing in the Olympics anymore, because a lot of people were finding out that their chromosomes did not match their gender.
And you went through basic training. You went through advanced individual training. You mm-hmm. did your yearly service with the Guard, and you were around other soldiers who were very well aware that you were transgender, and you never had a problem in completing your duties, building camaraderie, serving your country.
I haven't had any problems, no. This is the only reason that I am being removed from the military.
And just to be clear, you don't want to leave.
I don't want to leave. I want to finish out my contract at least. I think, you know, I only had a year and a half left. I saw the military as a job and one that I wasn't looking to make my career, but I liked it. I like a lot of the people there. I'm losing a lot of friends here. I'm losing the ability to see a lot of my friends. I still think Drive Like Hell, that was our unit's slogan. I think I learned a lot. I think I did a lot, and I don't like that this is the ending I'm getting. It's to put it into art terms, this is not narratively satisfying.
We mentioned at the beginning of the show that there are 12 soldiers in the Illinois National Guard who have applied. Do you know any of the other 12, and have you spoken with them?
I don't know any of them personally. I'm the only trans person in my unit. I know of some people who may have done it, but I told one of my friends from another unit near our area that, hey, this is happening. I was shocked to learn that my unit at the time that I had found out was the only unit in terms of people that I had talked to that knew about this, that knew that this was happening. Mm-hmm. And that was scary to me. We were in the field for annual training, and we had another unit helping us with showers and laundry. They were just across, you could throw a rock at them and hit them. And they didn't know. I had talked to one of their sergeants who had a trans soldier in his unit. And he said, oh, well, I'll definitely talk to them about that. And it was shocking. I couldn't believe it. But so I do know, to answer your question, I don't know. I may know them, but I wouldn't know if they are part of the 12. But I do know other trans soldiers and of other trans soldiers.
When all of this is over, will you call yourself a veteran, and will you be proud of that?
I will absolutely be a veteran. It's kind of funny. In AIT, I was discussing with some people. I said, hey, when do we become veterans? And we all kind of talked about it, and we were thinking, yeah, when is that? We even asked a drill sergeant, and we all came to the consensus that once you have finished at least your first contract, you're a veteran. And because I'm being honorably medically discharged, I've absolutely served. I went through basic and AIT. I put on the uniform once a month, 2 weeks out of the summer, and I have been a soldier, and I'm absolutely proud of the work that I've done. Huh.
Specialist Dalia Dahl, thank you very much for your service, and thank you for being on St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
Today's segment was produced by Jonathan Ahl.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.